Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we are so thankful for this day today. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence that is with us already here this morning. We're thankful, oh Lord, that you have brought us that we can gather together and hear your word and receive, that it becomes alive within us, Lord, and we see the fruit of it. It's not just written, Lord, but it's alive within us. And we thank you, Jesus, for everything you're going to do right here this morning in healing class. So give us open hearts to receive, and Lord, revelation to receive, and Lord, let your word be true, Lord, within every one of us, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Well, it is a good day. It's always nice to celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. That'll be coming, but it is always nice to be able to celebrate, and this is the first year without my mom.
Yeah.
But you know what? God is just so good. There's just, you know, we walk in just such joy. I'm so thankful for where she's at right now.
Amen.
I really am.
Amen.
So let's go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 7. We're going to read something that's really very familiar. Thank you for closing the door. Well, I think someone's coming in. As soon as he comes in, I think we'll go ahead and probably close it then. If it gets too stuffy, though, we can always open back up again, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Dennis?
Yes.
Yes. Good to see you this morning, Dennis.
Good to be here.
Okay, Luke chapter 7. We're going to read these verses, and then we will talk about it, okay? Starting in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 10. Very familiar to everybody. Now when he concluded all of his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. We've all heard this story before. We've probably seen it played out on a TV screen somewhere. And if we're not going to turn over to Matthew chapter 8, but in Matthew chapter 8, this mirrors, it's the same story, but with a little additional information in it. First of all, we want to say this is detailing a miracle that took place in Capernaum. Capernaum, as everyone knows, is the city it's like on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a shipping seaport town. It was a busy place. It was where the trade routes would come through. So it actually became a ministry hub for Jesus. He grew up in Nazareth, moved from Nazareth, and he moved to Capernaum. And this is where he was situated at. So he had been preaching, you know, in other parts, and he comes back to Capernaum, and he gets met with this request from a centurion. A centurion was a Gentile.
Ooh.
Not a Jewish person. He's a Gentile.
Matter of fact, a Roman one, which most of the Jews didn't like.
A Roman centurion. Now, I read some, and I'm not sure about this, that said that he may have been a centurion under Herod's army. I'm not so sure about that one, but If he was, he would have had a little bit of knowledge about like the Jewish religion. But if this is a Roman centurion, you know, he's in charge of 100 men, right? Because a centurion had 100 men that were under him. And he would be a Gentile. But as we're going to go on to see, if we look, we're going to just kind of take this verse by verse and kind of play out this scenario. And there's some interesting things that I found when I looked through there, looking up some words, some things that I had seen that I'd never seen before to do with healing. It says, and this certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and he was ready to die. So this man has a servant who is very ill. Matthew says he's paralyzed. He has a paralyzation. It says he is tormented, horribly tormented, which means he's in horrible pain. And he's paralyzed and he's at the point of death. And this man says, this centurion servant says his servant was very dear to him, which meant he was very valuable. He was a valuable servant to him. And he had a love for him. Paul kind of talked about that over in, I believe it's Philippians chapter 2, when he's talking about Epaphroditus, his servant, or a man that just attended to him. He was very valuable. It was the same type of a speaking. Epaphroditus was very dear to Paul, but he had been sick near unto death. And the Lord raised him up, which Paul said, it helped him because this man was so valuable to him. And he says, you need to honor people like this because they are of a value to you. So you kind of see the same word, the same verbiage over where Paul is talking about Epaphroditus. His it would have been a son in the Lord. Well, this centurion servant loved this man. He honored him because he was very valuable to him. And so he was held in honor. So if we keep reading here, in verse 3, it says, so when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. He loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Now, when you hear that, what is it that you're hearing? What is kind of popping out of that? In that he's deserving of this. He's deserving because of what?
Well, because he was a good man. He was doing good things for the Jews, which was God's people.
Because of works. He's deserving because of good works, which you could say. Well, we know that, you know, maybe in that scenario, this Jesus has not died yet. You know, he's preaching. We know that it says over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest of any man should boast. It's not the works that when we call upon Jesus, for one thing, he's begging. We don't have to beg. We don't have to beg from him because and place all of our accolades out before him. Well, Lord, look at what I've done. You know, I took care of this person. I did this. I preached, you know, last Sunday. I gave this much to the poor. I've done this all along. And so you're placing all of your accolades and your good works before Jesus. That may have been a situation there, but we don't have to do that anymore. When we have a sickness or something, because this is healing school, and we're talking about sickness and illness, we're talking about healing. We know that healing has already been provided for us through the covenant, right? Salvation. I almost wore my Sozo shirt today. And I ran out of time. It needed to be ironed, and I didn't have time. But, you know, it talks about you're saved, you're healed, you're delivered. But sozo, that being saved, means we are healed. It's already been provided for us. So we don't have to beg like this man was begging and pleading. And it says there were elders of the Jews that went and they kind of, you know, made intercession for him. You need to go see this man because he's really a good guy and he's deserving of it. Deserving because of his good works. Well, good works do not make us deserving, no. Right? Amen. What makes us deserving?
Just taking on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's
Him. Right. It's totally Him. It's nothing that we can do, nothing that we deserve because of our good works. It's totally who we are in Him. It is Jesus. So we don't have to beg and plead when something like this happens. We don't have to prove ourselves worthy, prove ourselves that, Lord, I'm deserving of this because, no. It's the heart of God is love. And because of love, He laid down His life. And because of compassion, we know that it says He healed them all because of compassion. It wasn't anything that they did to deserve it. So let's keep going in this, and we're going to see some other things that are in here, okay? So let's go down to verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. Now here's where I want to bring some things out at right here when it comes to healing. Then Jesus went with them, and He was already not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to Him, saying to Him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, before we get into how Jesus commended this man, I looked up these two words, worthy, and they're two completely different Greek words. I thought, okay, worthy. I've done some things to deserve this. But when you look up this word worthy in the first verse where it says, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. That word worthy right now means I am not sufficient enough. I'm not good enough that you should enter into my house. I have not done enough. It just means I don't have what it takes. I'm not sufficient. I don't have what it takes that you should even enter into my roof, under my roof. And when He says, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, it means deserving. I'm not deserving that you should come to me. This man, he's humble. He's very humble. But how many of us in the past have taken that same attitude about ourselves, and we're saying, I'm not sufficient. I've not done enough. I've not read enough. I failed you, Lord. I said some things that I shouldn't have said. I got into an argument. I'm not sufficient. I did all of this, which means so I'm not deserving. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I used to live there. I kept thinking my phone number was 1-800, no thing, nothing. I'm just nothing, not worthy of anything good. But when you start looking at it that way, you're looking at yourself and who you are. Jesus came, He bled, He died, He rose again, not because we were deserving of it. We had nothing to do with being deserving. We did not prove ourselves worthy of Him coming and laying down His life for us. So we did not deserve that, but because of love. He looked beyond the cross. With the joy that was set before Him, He looked beyond that cross because He knew what that cross was going to bring for us. We were going to be restored in right standing again before God, our Father. And He was bringing us back into fellowship, divine fellowship again. So when this man says, I'm not worthy, he's saying, I'm not sufficient enough. Therefore, I am not deserving. I'm glad He did not stay there. If He would have stayed there and lived there, His servant would not have been healed. But he had the truth. He was humble. He understood. And I can understand the same thing. I'm not worthy. But the blood of Jesus has set me free from my sin. And it's all to do with Him. It's nothing to do about me. Nothing. It's nothing to do, everyone that has ever received a healing, it was nothing that you ever did to deserve it. So when we say that we're not worthy, He makes us to where we can receive of Him. That's what love does. That's true love. How many have had situations in your, whether it's a family situation, a mother, a father, a child? Yeah, they've done some things maybe to hurt you, but you don't take your love away from them. Your love is still there. Amen. You don't say you're no longer my son because you failed. You're not sufficient enough. We don't do that. God did not do that with us. He loves us. Is there anybody else that you've ever had felt that way about yourself before? Because I know I have. I used to fail and get angry and do something, and it was like, then I would just plead with God, Lord, I am so sorry. Get me to that place to where you can use me because I'm such a failure. Thank God for grace. Because Paul says, my grace is sufficient. Okay? It's not our sufficiency. Our sufficiency means nothing. Before we go any farther, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Because we want to look at that. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12. Yes, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. And Paul is talking about his thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This man saying he is unworthy means he is not sufficient enough. And all of us that may have said that, we need to look over here and learn from Paul right here where he says, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. My grace is full. My grace brings you up to that place that you can receive because you're not looking at your own insufficiencies or your own weaknesses. Paul even said, therefore, when I am weak, then I am strong because I'm not depending upon myself. I'm depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ that lives within me. And it's his power within me that gives me that sufficiency. When I look at him, I look at his sufficiency within me, at his grace within me. I think that is just the most awesome thing that God has given to us. Because every one of us have been buffeted in one way or another. We've been beaten up. Because that's what buffet means. Mm-hmm. It says they buffeted Jesus. They were beating him when he was going through, you know, all of his trials there after he was arrested. It says they would buffet him, which means they were beating him up. He was blindfolded and they would hit him. And it was like how many times every one of us, we've all been buffeted in one way or another. Things from our past come back to beat us up and to slam us and to knock us down. But the Lord says, don't look at that. Look at his grace, because his grace is sufficient. And his grace is enough. And his grace is what brings healing to us. It's not our own deserving, but it's his grace. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's keep going here, okay? Because we have found out that it's not ourself. It is everything that the Lord has done for us already. One more thing that I just wanted to bring out from that too. In verse 7, where it says, therefore I do not even think myself worthy, but say the word and my servant will be healed. Of course, that word healed there, it's that word sozo. Or it comes from sozo. It's the word, and it's pronounced diasozo, which means thoroughly healed, completely healed. It's because of salvation. We know what salvation is. Jesus brought this gift of salvation to us, and we are saved. So because of that, we have the right to ask of him to be healed. And I don't know if the word right is the right word to say, but it's just part of the benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Not only does he forgive us of our sins and our iniquities, but he heals all of our diseases and he delivers us from all of our destructions. So that word there, sozo, means you are healed. You are already healed because you're saved. When you gave your life to Jesus and got saved, when you got rescued out of sin and set free from your sin, this is like, you know, basic salvation 101. You got healed at the same time. It's there for you. You were prospered at the same time. It's there for you. And so we just need our minds to be renewed to what the word truly says.
Amen.
Renew my mind, O Lord.
Amen.
Renew it according to the word and according to the truth of the word. Amen. So this man is saying, speak the word. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but you speak the word only. My servant will be healed. Because this man had an understanding of something because he's a Roman centurion. He understands authority. And he understands the authority of his word. He says, he goes on to speak and he says, I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Israel, God's chosen people, should have understood the authority because they had God's word. But they did not understand it like this man understood it. He understood when I speak something, and we know where the word is. It says, don't look, you know, to go to heaven and bring Jesus down or to go down to hell and bring him back up. But the word is within you. It's even in your mouth. So when we speak that word, we have an understanding that the authority that has been given to us, like this man had an authority, it was given to him from where? The centurion, where did he get his authority from?
Caesar.
He got his authority from Rome.
Caesar.
And that was law. It was law. I've given this man authority, and he knew it. He knew that all I got to do is speak, and that man goes. If he doesn't, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you either go to the stocks, or, you know, it could even be worse for you. So he understood, and if I tell him to come, he comes. So when he spoke that, Jesus stopped and he commended him for his faith. He says, this is faith. Now, if it's good in the natural, how much greater is it in the spiritual? When Jesus has put that word within us, when he's put his word within us. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. So when we speak that word, we expect it's going to come to pass because we're not speaking of our own authority. We're speaking of the authority of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and because we have been restored in right standing with God, the Father. So this man understood that, and Jesus turned to those elders of the Jews that were with them, and he says, you need to take a lesson from him. You need to understand he's just spoken the truth to you. It didn't come out of the Torah, but what he's speaking is the meaning that's in there, the authority that is the word of God. It's an awesome thing. It's a very awesome thing, you know, that we can stand and we can depend upon the word of God. You know, depending upon is like you're leaning up against something. They're holding you up. That's your strength. When you're saying, I'm dependent upon the Lord, I'm leaning on him. It's like he's the one holding me up. I'm not doing it on my own. And the Word of God is, we need to be completely dependent upon it and on what it says. So what happens, we just have to know that he's on our side. Jesus is on my side. So there I go with the so again. His authority was given. I told Johnny one time, I says, I find myself when I listen to myself, I say so a lot. And so I'm trying not to say so. Okay?
It's not worthy. I say right a lot.
You say right a lot? Well, I guess we all have our little things that are just kind of there, you know, but.
Embrace it.
Love it. Yes. Just love it. So. Okay. Oh my gosh. Wow. God is so good. And you know, we're supposed to walk in joy. And we're not supposed to try to be perfect. I haven't found a perfect orator yet. Jesus would have been the perfect orator, you know, that could speak just perfectly. But I bet he had a lot of fun with his disciples, when especially Peter. I can see that he had a lot of fun with his disciples, which is a good thing. Okay. So verse 9 and 10, Jesus commends his faith and he says, I have not found so great faith, not even in Israel. And we know what happened. It says that when Jesus heard these things, he marveled, and of course he commended him. But he says, and those that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So because of his faith, he says, you just send the word only. My servant is healed. Just send the word. And my servant will be healed. I don't have to have you come under my roof because I'm not deserving of it. I'm not sufficient enough for you to come. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm not in covenant. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, which was every one of us. We are all whosoevers. Every one of us are a whosoever. It's not based on what religion that we were raised in or how much knowledge of the word that we have that we can receive the healing that we need. It's completely based on who Jesus is, the Son of God that came to take away the sin of the world. That's what John spoke of him. Behold the Lamb, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world.
Not just covered up for a year or a month or a week to take it.
It's not covered. We're not covered. Yeah, we're not. It's not to where you can't see it. The Lord removed that from our spirit man. Deep inside myself, I'm not the same person I was. I'm Amen. Completely new because I received Jesus as my Savior. He set me free from sin. Sin no longer has a hold on me. Now, mistakes might still be in my brain. We have to walk out this salvation that we're have. But you know what? Because we might make a failure does not mean that we're not sufficient or deserving. It's deep within ourselves. That's grace. That's what grace does. That's why it says, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't look at anything that you've done or not done. Healing is yours already. Healing is right now. And healing is ours to receive whenever we need it. It might be a headache. It might be a heart healing that we need. It might be a deadly disease. It might be a cancer. It might be something like that that's just ravishing our body, but healing is ours. And we don't have to do what we think we need to do to deserve it, because we'll never deserve it. We'll never be able to say, oh, look, I finally made it. I'm there. Hallelujah. Okay, now, Lord, lay it on me. You know?
And when you think you're there, you're going to find out you're not.
You're going to find out probably a minute after that, oops, Where did that come from, right? The main points in here that I just really wanted you to see is where this man says, don't come on, you, I can't even have you come under my roof because I'm not sufficient enough. I'm not good enough. Don't live there. Don't even go there that I'm not good enough. Therefore, I'm not deserving, he says. Therefore, I'm not worthy or I'm not deserving. Receive what Jesus paid. By his stripes, we are healed. We are already healed. He paid that price. Isaiah spoke of it 700 years before Jesus even died. He spoke of it in Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord came and he ministered to people, he didn't ask, are you born again? Because nobody was. Are you a Jew? Do you understand the covenant? Did you go to synagogue? Have you done everything you need to do? Jesus never asked those kinds of questions, did he? He had compassion because creation was ravaged with sickness and disease because of sin. And he came to pay that price, to buy it all back. He became our ransom. He paid a great price, a price that none of us could ever pay or none of us ever deserved. So we are healed.
Yes.
So when it comes to something's going on in our body, you know, we have a tendency to just, I got to get a hold of this. I got to do this, you know. I got to make sure that I'm studied enough and, you know, get a hold of whatever it is. No, we just need to look and say, Jesus, you're my source. You're my source. When it comes to healing, when it comes to finances, when it comes to, you know, things within ourselves that we just can't seem to get rid of, attitudes, Jesus, you're my source. And I'm giving myself and I'm laying myself down before you and receiving what you have already done for me.
You say it real easy. Life. He's my life.
He's my life.
Because without him, I don't have life.
He is my life.
Jesus didn't even ask if they were born again.
No. Nobody was born again, were they? Nobody could be born again at that point because he had not yet died. He had not yet been resurrected. He had not yet defeated death. So nobody could be born again. When we're born again, we have a brand new spirit where he gives us a brand new do-over of our life. Our life becomes his life now. It's his spirit that dwells within us because we're born again from above, not from this earth. So heaven is our home. But we bring it right here on this earth right now. We don't have to wait. Everybody says, well, I know I'm going to be healed up there. Yeah, you will be. But you know what? Let's be healed right here too. Let's be healed and walk in health and show forth the good works of God. Show forth the miraculous works of God.
Amen.
Hebrews, yeah, go ahead.
People will think, how dare I expect to have received healing now, not realizing that that's the price that he paid for us to have that. It's almost like, how could we dare not receive everything he went to the cross for?
Yes.
If that was part of it, then it's almost like a slap in his face not to receive it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's an awful big price to pay for me to say, well, I'm going to go to heaven, but then I'll get the rest when I get there.
Yes. Yes.
What he planned for us.
Yep. I totally agree with that. You know, Hebrews says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed means you're controlled by those things. It's a controlling thing. Sickness can be controlling, can it not?
Yes.
I mean, it dictates your every move at times. So it's an oppression upon you. But Jesus went about doing good. He was anointed. Now, we are anointed in that same way because his anointing rests upon us because it's his very spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within us and will quicken our mortal bodies. Right now, we can be quickened by his life that is within us. So So let's just remember, Jesus is no respecter of persons. He went to a Gentile. It's not that we are deserving or that we are self-sufficient within ourselves. His grace is sufficient. And his grace brings healing. And we have the word within our mouth, just like Jesus sent his word and he healed them. He sent his word. It's right here, right now. So when we speak it, trust the word of God. Trust the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we have it right now within us. So we're gonna pray. And if there is anybody that needs prayer, that needs healing, I just want you to, first of all, realize it's nothing that you can do yourself. I just want you by faith to receive what Jesus has already done for you. Get yourself out of the picture. Don't even look at you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Mm-hmm. Love that song. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. And that means sickness. In the light of his glory and grace, his grace is sufficient. So we're going to pray. And then if anyone needs prayer, I'm going to ask you to come on up and we're going to pray for you, okay? So Father, we love you. We thank you for what you have done for us, for all that you have done for us, for who you are within us. Lord, that you have paid the price already. It's nothing that we can do or deserve, but it's everything that you have done with us. And I thank you, Lord, that you dwell within each and every one of us here right now. And your spirit, oh Lord, is alive within everyone's body. So Holy Spirit, I want to release the Holy Spirit and the receptors in the brain to receive what you have already done for us, that we get our thinking straight, that our thinking comes in line and in agreement with what the Word of God says about us already. Our healing has been provided. So we receive it and we walk in it and we will rejoice in it. And Lord, we will share it and be a testimony of the goodness of God, that we are released and free and healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.